So those of you who are here, if you'll get your Bibles out and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Those of you at home, please take a Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. The message is called By Grace, By Grace. And I'm going to read to you Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. And it says this: "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, just as the others, just as everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together with him, and made us sit together with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That's the word of the Lord, and we'll thank God for it. Thank you, Lord God, for the wonderful message that we have in your written word. We thank you, Lord, for your apostles that you entrusted that word to. And we pray now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would help us in our learning and in our study time. Help us to see, Lord, the beautiful mysteries that you hid from ages long past, but you have now revealed to the church through your apostles and prophets. Lord, we thank you for your word and pray that you'll open up our understanding to it today. In Christ's name, amen. All right, well, happy Easter. The Lord is risen. He is indeed risen. It is that is the undeniable fact. It is the central fact of Christianity. If Christ is not, in fact, raised from the dead, our faith, of course, is an empty shell, and we're still in our sins, right? If you don't believe it, you are not a Christian, okay? If you believe the truth, though, if you believe the historical fact that Christ is indeed risen from the dead, and that by the almighty power of God, on a spring Sunday morning 2,000 years ago, from a tomb outside Jerusalem, okay, you know what the Bible says. If you believe, and if you confess him, your Lord, you will be saved. You will be saved. That salvation, that never-ending life, is the absolutely free gift of God to anyone who simply comes to Christ Jesus, the living one. Okay, he said, "I have come so that you might have life." You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You simply receive what has been fully prepared and arranged and is now being offered to you. It's a gift beyond price. Life in immortality. This is what God has for you, what God has for me. As Peter puts it, it's a very participation in the divine nature. Impossible to achieve it on your own. It is an act of the Almighty God, just as was the act of raising up Jesus Christ from the tomb on that day after he was executed. Is it hard to believe? Believe it. It is as true as the sun in the sky. Okay, even his own disciples had a hard time believing it at first. Luke says they could hardly believe it for joy. How can this be? But he showed them his hands. He showed them his feet. Look here, look here. Okay, he says he gave them many convincing proofs that he was, in fact, alive. God raised him from the dead and glorified him, says Peter, and we are witnesses of it. We have seen it, right? He raised him from the dead. He received him victoriously back into his presence in heaven. He seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above every authority, power, might, dominion, every name that can be named, both in the present age and in the one to come. And Ephesians says he has put everything under his feet and has especially given him to be the head of everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And who is the Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is both Lord and Messiah. He is our Savior. He is worthy. Blessed be his name. And especially today, blessed be his name. Well, First Baptist, we've been away from Ephesians for a couple of weeks. People have been away from church for whatever reason, some for the virus and some, you know, just because, whatever other reasons. I'm afraid that if you have been missing our time in Ephesians, you've been missing the development of Paul's train of thought in this very important letter. And, you know, especially since it's been a few weeks since we've been together, really, it's kind of a shame, I think, if the trail were to go cold, just as we're here right in the thick of things, right, just in the middle of discussing some very precious and astonishing truth about the grace of God, right? God's wonderful grace toward us in his son, Jesus. We are getting now down to some of the most famous salvation verses in the Bible, Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. But you shouldn't just take snippets of scripture out of isolation, out of context, and use them by themselves. You have to see they're part of a longer unit. Okay, you typically hear Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, or 8 to 10, quoted by themselves, but they're actually the summary of a line of thought that basically began back in chapter 1 and verse 19. And even that was the middle of a sentence, which started all the way back in chapter 1 and verse 15. So if you had not been with us in person in our study of Ephesians, if you're new to this, let me make a suggestion, and I recommend that you go to the website and pick up the trail a few sermons ago, probably the first one to get a head start and get a running start at where we are today. Start listening from the one that's called You Shall Receive Power. Okay, that's three or four messages ago, but it'll be worth your while because you will be able to see what has led up to this point. And a lot of very amazing supernatural things have been going on since chapter 1, verse 19. Since then, the concentration has been on the mighty power of God, which is at work in the believing man or woman. Okay, initially, in the bringing of that person out of a state of spiritual deadness and into a state of spiritual life. And then, of course, the continuance of his mighty power in the life of the believing man or woman, we who trust in Christ, as we're being transformed from one stage of glory to another, progressively being conformed to the likeness of Jesus. Okay, God's power in your life or my life, right? To put it very simply, it's a miracle. It's a miracle what God has done. It's a miracle what he does do in your heart or my heart if you believe in Christ, right? And Paul says, I pray that you may know. I pray that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power at work in you who believe. Okay, and near the end of chapter 1, Paul showed us that there's a parallel between what God did in raising Jesus up from the dead and what he does in giving us this new life, this heavenly life that he has bestowed on us. Okay, do we see that Christ was dead? His body lay there, unseeing, unhearing, unfeeling, but the hand of God raised him up from death, and he lives. And we also, in our earlier lives, we were unreceptive to God. We were unaware of his glory all around us. We were unconcerned with his righteousness. We were just tied up and wrapped up in our own lives, right? Our own business and our own desires. Okay, in a word, we were dead to God. right? The God the way he is, I mean, right? We were not alert to the true and living God, not sensitive to him. You know, some people have a religion or they think they know some things about God, but that's a God of their own imagining. To God as he really is, we were dead to him. We were not aware of him. Okay, and this is exactly how the majority of people in the world shuffle their way through life, right? Unaware, unknowing, unresponsive to God. But for us Christians, that has all changed. So Easter is the most meaningful and lovely to those of us who have been awakened into this new life. We've been raised into newness of life by the same mighty power that God wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead. And Ephesians says that's not all that God did. Okay, he not only raised him up, but he exalted him far above all principality and power, all conceivable planes of existence and glory. And hard to conceive, he says he has seated us together with Christ, because we are in Christ. We're united to Christ. Okay, Easter is, in a manner of speaking, it's our birthday, right? We were made alive on that day together with him. Right, we were made to sit in the heavenlies with him. Today is the day to commemorate our victory, Christians. Okay, thine is the glory. You know, the song says, thine is the glory, risen conquering Son. But by the grace of God, we who love the Lord Jesus Christ, we share in that victory. Okay, the victory is his, right? It's not ours. He's the one who obeyed. He was sinless. He laid down his life. He endured the cross. He has conquered death. But God has imputed that victory also to us who believe in him. Okay, we didn't do anything to win that victory, but he has awarded us the victory of it nevertheless. Okay, and if you look in verses 5 and 6 of Ephesians 2, and you see that repetition of with him, okay, or you know, or this is a New King James Version, it says together with, right, together with, it's verse 6, verse 5, I think. That is kind of the explanation or the unfolding of this word grace, the grace of God. God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, okay, by grace, God raised us with him, seated us at his right hand with him, with Christ. That is the grace of God. It's a common word that we use, but people don't necessarily understand what we're getting at. Grace means this kind bestowal upon us of many good and precious things simply out of the goodness, the pure goodness of the heart of God. Okay, and we had a lovely illustration of grace on Wednesday night when we had our prayer meeting, and we talked from Luke chapter 7 about the so-called sinful woman, right? The woman who came in and, you know, she came to Christ in tears and with affection, and she washed his feet with her tears and with her hair, and she put the perfume on his feet. Right? She loved him, and he said to her these tender, gracious words, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." That, to me, is such a scene of grace. She did not do a thing to work off her life's debt of sin, right? The Pharisees thinking, oh, if only he knew what kind of a woman this is, okay? But she saw in the face of Christ, she saw the goodness of God. Her heart throbbed with the hope of the prospect of his favor, of his acceptance of her. She counted it, I think, a high honor even just to touch his dusty feet and perform this service for him. Okay, but listen to the gracious words that come out of his mouth as he turns to her and says, "Daughter, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Okay, here in Ephesians it says, "It is by grace that you are saved through your faith in him." Right, it's by grace. You haven't earned it by your diligent obedience to his commands. It has been freely bestowed on you. Okay? Otherwise, what is a sinful person to do? Like, what hope would there have been for this woman? There would have been no hope. What hope would there be for you and me? Okay? It's too late for us to have a perfect record. Our record is already tainted. It's already spoiled. We spent the past time of our lives in ignorance of God, in indulgence of ourselves, self-centeredness, right? Just like everyone else. That's what the scripture says here. And there is nothing that can erase that fact about our past. But Ephesians says, having heard the good news and having believed and having put the hope of your heart in the same Lord Jesus Christ who saves, you were washed, you were cleansed, you were sealed with this gracious gift, the Holy Spirit, who is the assurance that we have a share. We have it. It can't be taken away. We have a share in God's inheritance when the day arrives for Christ to redeem it. Okay, and Easter is the accomplishment of God's plan of grace, right? Because Christ lives, right? He said, because I live, you also shall live. That is a gift that is graciously given, right? It is never earned. It's never deserved. No one can boast, it says here in the scriptures. No one can boast that eternity is my well-deserved reward for a life properly lived. Okay, no. The things necessary for our salvation were entirely accomplished without our participation. The incarnation of the Son of God, the sinless life of Jesus, the sacrifice of his innocent life on the cross, and then the mighty act of God in quickening him, raising him from the dead, and seating him high above the highest heavens. Where was your hand in that? Nowhere, right? You didn't participate in that. We did nothing. Okay, that was all done at the initiative of God, by the ancient plan of God, and by the power of God. Okay, I present to you the good news. Christ died for our sins in keeping with what was written in the scriptures, and he was buried, and he was raised on the third day by the power of God, also in keeping with what was written in the scriptures, and he was seen alive by his apostles, by witnesses that God had chosen. They ate and drank with him after his resurrection. Christ is risen indeed. Come to me, he says, and I will give you life. I will give it to you. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Where were we in any of that? Nowhere to be seen. Okay, it is all entirely the accomplishment of God. It is the gift of God. It's been prepared. It's been arranged. And it is ready to be received. Right? Surely you would not say that you had any hand in doing any of that. Okay, and even the hearing of the message of it. You didn't have any part in that either, right? The message came to you, didn't it? God sent somebody into your life that brought you the word of the gospel. Okay, somebody presented it to you. You didn't go looking for it. And even then, the understanding of the message, that too is a mysterious, unseeable thing. How does that happen? Okay, God opened your eyes. The Spirit of God moved your heart to understand what was being said. Okay, you and I both know you can sit through a sermon and listen to the words, and it goes in one ear and out the other, and whatever they what just said, it was some religious stuff, and it didn't make any sense to me. Okay, you and I both know what that's like. But at some point, I get it now. I understand. Okay, now I see. That's the grace of God, right? That is the act of God drawing you to himself. So how is a man to be saved? How are you going to be saved? Through faith. Through faith. Okay, pay attention to your prepositions here. By grace, through faith. Okay, faith is your response to the message of what God has already accomplished in Christ. Through this man, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Okay, there it is. What is your answer? Put your faith in the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and God will grant you the forgiveness of sins and a share of the inheritance with all the others that he is making holy through the name of Jesus Christ. All of that is by grace. Your access to it, though, is through faith. By grace, through faith. Okay, it's all done. It's there. It's ready. Just make the decision of your will to believe it. And God says, I will give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit within you. And he says he will fit you out for his kingdom of glory that he's going to establish on the globe. Let me read you from Psalm 72. Psalm 72 says this about the Lord Jesus. In his days the righteous shall flourish, and abundance of peace until the moon is no more. He shall have dominion from sea to sea, and from river to the ends of the earth. And all kings shall fall down before him, and all nations shall serve him. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun. All men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Christ is alive. And he sits at the right hand of God, waiting for the day to come when he will return and claim his purchased possession. Right? And the Bible says, God both raised up the Lord and will raise us up by his power. That is God's grace. It is grace upon grace. Are you telling me a foolish, self-centered, angry, jealous, carnal person like me, he's going to take and wash and give a place in immortal glory and honor and peace and joy and light? That, friends, is God's grace. By grace, right? What grace that is. Now, as with any sermon, I know that there's two kinds of people that I'm addressing, right? Those who have already been quickened in their inner man by the animating power of God, by their faith in Jesus Christ, and those who haven't. Okay, even though you may have listened to sermons before, okay, if you haven't understood that Jesus Christ is the central act of God in all history, and if you haven't made him your own, or maybe you just don't even know whether you have or not, the word of Christ to you today is, come to me and I will give you life. Right? There's that word, give. I will give it to you. He doesn't say, go to church and you'll have life. He doesn't say, read a devotion and you'll have life. He says, come to me, I will give you life. Eternal life is Christ's to give. Jesus said, God has granted the Son of Man to give eternal life to whomever he will. It's all prepared, it's arranged, it's ready to be received. It cannot be had apart from a person. Okay, the grace of God to the human race is in Christ. Christ is the one we must love. Christ is the one we take refuge in. Christ is the one whose blood erases our sin. Christ is the one in whom we have fullness. Right? God gave us eternal life, and his life is in his Son. And whoever doesn't have the Son doesn't have the life. You can't find eternal life out there in the world. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. And it's useless to talk about what you have done to deserve anything, right? Eternal life is given. And what Jesus gives, no one can ever take it away. Nothing in all creation can take it away. Okay? Christ has risen from the dead. The thing is done. By grace, you are saved through faith. So Jesus said, why won't you come to me that you might have life? Why don't you come to him today and make today your birthday, right? It's my birthday, right? It's my birthday. Today it's the birthday of every believer, because on this day, God made us alive together with him, raised us up with him, And then it says, he seated us in the heavenlies with him, and we know the day is coming when he's going to glorify us with him. But be born again today. Be united to Christ. What better day to be vitalized from above than on the anniversary of Christ's own resurrection from the dead? It would be a divine work of grace. It is an act of God's power. Be quickened, be raised, be exalted together with Jesus Christ. Well, let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, blessed be your name. Lord, you have conceived our salvation. You have brought it to pass. You have brought honor to your name in your Son, Jesus Christ. May the people hear your voice today, Lord, and answer your call. Not unto us, O Lord, but to your name give glory. May your little ones be glad and rejoice on this, your day of victory. Christ has broken the bars of death, and he lives, and he saves. Send out your light and your truth. Let the gospel run swiftly and take root and bring forth fruit. Be pleased, Lord God, to save a soul today, and we'll give you all of our praise. And if someone is listening and they are ready to receive your salvation today, Lord, I just pray that you would assure that person of your wonderful grace, your exceeding grace, and your mighty power to save them. You are indeed rich in mercy. You have loved us with a great love. You have promised never to leave us or forsake us. We love you, Lord. We await the day of glory. Lord Jesus, come quickly. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen.